that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score.
And you know that old wheel has rolled around. It's Saturday morning once again, December 3rd, a snowy morning here at the Radio Ranch. We hope you'll join us for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Pour you a cup. We'll be right back after this.
And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay the prices high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel. Gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel.
Gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
It
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And can you believe it? That old wheel has rolled around again. Here it is, Saturday morning. Well, you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch outside of Laramie, Wyoming. And we're all here. Most of us anyway. Good morning, Kyle. And you do have to unmute. There you go. Good morning. Nope, one more time.
I don't hear him.
I don't hear him either.
Good morning, Richard.
There he is.
How about that?
It's amazing what happens. You know, one of the pastor's legacies is hitting the right button here on the board. We pleasantly remember. But, yeah, good morning, Kyle. And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And I don't know if Jason's sleeping in or had a project this morning. I called him and couldn't get in touch with him. Maybe he'll call in a little bit later. But we are here at the Radio Ranch microphone. And the program that you're listening to, Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Got the Ranch Wranglers here, got coffee. So that's what the program is. Pastor initiated it several years ago. And we gather around, pray, and from there, who knows? Who knows? Well, Kyle, would you start us out with a prayer this morning, please?
Yes, sir. Oh, God, my Heavenly Father, we do come to you this morning, this beautiful morning, and we thank you for it. We thank you for this opportunity to gather here together in the microphones at Scriptures for America. And we ask you to be with us and watch over us and guide and direct our thoughts with your Holy Spirit, Lord. We ask that Holy Spirit to be here amongst us. And if we open up the phone lines to be with them that call in, we just ask for your blessings, Lord. And we ask that you put into us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding like never before. We ask for the growth process to keep going, that we grow in the grace and knowledge and the truth of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask this in his name. That holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kyle.
Yeah, Richard looked at me this morning, John, and said, well, this is one of the mornings I figured you'd call in, you know, because it's like 5 or 6 inches out here at the ranch. But
oh, yeah.
But there might have been maybe a half inch in Laramie. I mean, that much difference just in 15 miles.
Wow. Yeah, we got, I don't know, I bet we got another 4 inches last night. So.
Yeah, we got every bit of that and probably then some. And there's places there's 6 or 8 inches on top of the fence posts just kind of sitting there. But it sure came down pretty well straight. Not much wind, just a beautiful, beautiful morning here. No sunshine yet, but it is a beautiful day, snowy day here at the Radio Ranch.
Sure was peaceful on the drive out, not hardly a car on the road. Just, I guess, people doing what they should be doing on Saturday morning, just taking it easy.
Yeah. Amen. Sure, nice to have four-wheel drive, huh?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Probably putting the plow back on the truck today. If this keeps up, I don't know if... That's just this is it and done, but yeah, it was even tough getting across the yard here at the Radio Ranch this morning. But
still
anyway,
coming up there.
A little bit. Mm. Yeah, it's still coming down a little bit, so that it is. Well, here on Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, we just never know which way we're going. We're not like the big boys that have a team of script writers that work all week and pull news stories and give us quips and quotes and have teleprompters to tell us what to say and where to go.
We got just, better than that. We got the Holy Spirit.
That's right. We've got that. We just open our Bibles and two verses I'll start with this morning. And if it instigates something and we go that way, that's good. If not, then that's all right. In Isaiah 48, it says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever."
Amen.
And that's something we do need to remember. We talked, you know, we've got a call this week from a listener, a supporter of the ministry, has been for quite a while. And he said, you know, listening to Pastor Peter's sermon last Sunday really opened the Old Testament up for him. He wasn't specifically preaching on the Old Testament, but when he was reading, he said that it really made him a full Testament Christian. And he'd never even realized that... that he just did not give the credence and the importance to the Old Testament that he had in the past. And, to know who Christ is, to know who he came for, to know why he came, to know who God is, you can't start in Matthew 1. You just can't. You miss so much of why Matthew was written and why Jesus came. And you read, like we read in Isaiah, that the Word of God is the same, and God is the same. He does not change. And we would do well, and it does do you well, when you can read the Word and ask for understanding. And then when you get it, apply it.
Amen. Yep.
And that little pause there is a little professional pause there to let some of the other men just chime in on that particular thought there, John. while I get a drink of coffee.
I'm working
on it. Or Kyle. Always...
Well, I didn't want to talk over John, and I knew he was just about to speak. So.
And Kyle's reaching for my coffee thermos that we bring over here. And you know, that was one thing too, John. I'll share with you is, boy, when we'd come in here with the pastor... You know, normally he'd have his big old silver coffee carafe or whatever. He would have gotten up and usually made a little bit for him, and then made us a fresh pot. And when we join here,
it wasn't that weak stuff either. I'll tell you that.
No, he'd dabble a little bit of cream in it, and I won't say you had to have
the German in them.
Woo, but it was solid.
German style.
Yeah.
Cowboy style.
There you go. Solid coffee. I don't make it quite that stout, but it's good to have some coffee here when it's 12 degrees outside. It sure is.
Yeah, I remember one of the first visits we had out to the La Porte Church of Christ. I think we were on our way home. We might have been on our way here, but anyway, we stopped in some town in Wyoming on Highway 80. And you know, us being city folk, we were looking for a Starbucks, and we pulled into this town and
that's an interstate, by the way.
Yeah. And we went into a store, or Tracy did, and she asked if there was a Starbucks nearby, and the lady in there just kind of laughed and said, "All we got out here is cowboy coffee." You know, and she didn't even understand what cowboy coffee. She thought there was probably a place
that said cowboy, had a sign out.
Uh-huh. Spelled, so you know, we learned pretty fast that there's just not Starbucks out here like there was, you know, back where we came from. So
yeah, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. But yeah,
all these big corporations have put out so many small businesses. It's pretty sad.
It really is. Yeah. And what Richard was saying about the caller that called him this week, it is amazing out there how the Old Testament, even the ones that aren't New Testament only people, they're still New Testament only people. They just don't call themselves that because they know absolutely nothing about the Old Testament. I should know. I came from a place like that. It's, you know, they didn't even read the scriptures that it was for our example or, you know, for our learning. You know, they just, it's just practically like non-existent people from a fairy tale. And the Noahs and the Abrahams and the Shems and all of them. You know, and that's what led us to the New Testament, but it just seems to be unimportant out there. And I'm not saying that all those people are completely lost. I'm just, you know, saying that they just don't have the whole book.
They don't have the complete story.
Right. And it's like entering something halfway through it or three quarters of the way through it, and you just don't, you're incomplete.
Yeah, this this week I found a old CD of Dad's in his pickup, and it was Johnny Cash, Greatest Gospel Hits, and I've been listening to that a lot, and it just really brings you back to the kind of man Dad was, and, you know, I can almost picture him singing along with those songs going down the road, and it'd be pretty hard one morning, but we just got to remember, death, where is thy sting, because we know we'll see him again, but I sure do miss him.
Amen.
And you know, John, again, I'll say, I know you get to see most of the correspondence that comes in and that type thing, and that has been the theme, the common denominator since he has passed away.
Yeah.
Is the people writing in, and that's what they say, they miss him, and we all do.
Oh yeah.
We all do.
Nobody can hold a candle to him, so we're fortunate that he was smart enough to give us an archive of wealth that we can continue to share truth with the remnant and hopefully even recruit more, you know. Hopefully more will open their eyes because there ain't a whole lot of time left.
That's true. And you know, John, that hopefully is actually coming true as we speak. You know, there's not a day goes by that we do not get somebody new, either through letters that we get from the mail or phone calls or emails, that somebody new has found the ministry.
That's great.
And I don't boast in that. I'm not exaggerating that, but between the emails and the mail and the phone calls, you know,
we lose a few too, but that's all right because God prunes the vine. So
absolutely.
We thank the Lord for that too. Dad taught us to be thankful for everything, and we're thankful for the ones that we lose that shouldn't be here and the ones that we gain.
Amen.
Any one of them that we can turn to baptism is another soul for Christ. That's our goal.
Amen. And that's called growth.
You know?
When the vine grows, it has to be pruned. It just can't grow wild. It has to have direction to have it grow the way the vine dresser wants it to grow. And that's exactly how it is here. We just wanted to share with you and with all the listeners out there that the ministry is growing. We're, you know, continuing the 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on shortwave. The Sunday sermons just get better. You know, it literally is a young firebrand pastor that many of us heard many, many years ago. Very few of us have seen him like that. And that really is a privilege that we do get to continue to see him you know, re-preach almost these foundational messages. I've said it before. I've been taking more notes these last few months than these last few years. I'm ashamed to say that I didn't take as many notes when he was here with us. I sure took them, but not like I do now. And
yeah, well, unfortunately, we never realized what we had until it's gone, you know.
Yeah, and that is a human nature, you know.
It is
very hard to overcome that, to realize just what's there. But God is gracious. He's allowed us to continue on with, and that's what we've told people, to continue on with the instructions that the pastor left. Like
Amen.
You said, John, he was a very wise man. He left. He did not leave his the ministry that he built. He did not leave it in disorder. He left it in order. He left it as Jesus would have him leave it, you know, to other Christian men to carry it on. And you know, we have had letter. I had one letter. I won't say letters. One that said, you know, Pastor Peters was the ministry, and so now that he's gone, that's it.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And you know that's I don't know who wrote it. And if you're listening, I'm just going to have to call you a fool, because it's very evident that you did not follow the pastor's ministry for 33 plus years, and you never listened to him, because time and time and time again he had said that it wasn't about him, that he was just the messenger, and that the ministry is about the message, the kingdom message, the gospel message. And it was when he started it, and he grew through it, and it was when he left it to us, and it still is today. And it will continue
to be. Lord. Go ahead.
No, and it will continue to be.
Yeah. And if the Lord reveals another man of his caliber and a prophet, then so be it. We'll know it. But until that point, SFA is Pastor Peters, period. It always will be. But, I mean, if we get some new material at some point and it's the leading of the Holy Spirit, the man's prophetic, then can hold a candle to him, then so be it. But other than that, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, that's key, you know, is you got all these churches out there that they have hirelings for preachers.
Yeah.
And the word will tell you that a hireling doesn't care about the flock. You know, and our pastor cared about the flock more than anybody I've ever met in my life. Some of it was tough love.
Yeah.
But that's because he cared so much.
Yeah.
And I remember an old message. I don't know if we've played it or Jason played it or what, but I mean, I had it on cassette. He said in that cassette, he said, that these, back then he was just putting it on cassettes. There wasn't such a thing as CDs yet. But he said, I think time will tell that this is the hole in the dike, so to speak. And he was talking about putting these messages on tape. And I don't think he knew what the future was going to bring, but the Holy Spirit, you know, made him say that. And here we are with all those messages. And, you know, and the future did bring what he's, you know, what he was saying is going to be that hole in the dike, you know, that's going to get that word out, you know, and it's great to have, along with our Bibles, you know, to lead us into more truth.
Amen. Yeah, it's Joni and I have talked quite a bit about a lot of the letters and emails and things that we get, and we just stand in awe, really, at how the remnant not only loved their pastor when he was on this earth, but they still love him and the work that he's done, and they still support proclaiming the truth, and we're humbled by it. We're grateful that you know, that was Dad's his life was the ministry. He paid a whole lot of price, a lot of prices for, not the correct English, but he paid quite a price for proclaiming that truth. He was a man's man and did not care about the consequences, stood on God's word, and that's a rare trait. And I'm grateful that I had the time that I had with him, but just to see the people support him, love him, it's just, it's humbling.
Amen. Amen. That it is. That it truly is. Well, I don't know if anybody's followed the news lately. I kind of purposely haven't. And that was something that I think we all learned from the pastor, too. He said, you know, if you're watching that news every night, listening on the radio, you're going to be fretting. You're going to be upset. And one thing he would encourage you to do, us to do sometimes, is something he did and he would do. He said, just turn it off for a month, 2 months, 3 months. And then when you go back and look at it, you'll see it's the same old stuff. It's just new names. I saw a bumper sticker. Kyle and I were down in Colorado yesterday, and we were coming back, and it said something about, I'm a gun owner, and I vote. Vote McCain. And it's not the black cane that's running now. Or
was that the gunaholic one?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if it might have been.
Yeah.
And but you know, it was back in the McCain-Obama election of 08. And he's a gun owner. And he votes. So vote for McCain. Well, you know, McCain is the one now sponsoring the bill where the military can come in and just arrest you. You know, doing completely away with the Constitution. I mean, just completely. We know it's been done away with for a while. But
citizens and non-citizens.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Anybody in the United States or outside of the United States that basically the U.S. government, the U.S. military, can obtain anybody they want. Anywhere, anytime, any place. No more innocent until proven guilty. No more posse comitatus. And people hear that and they go, what is that? And, you know, that was back where, see, in the Revolutionary War, when King George sent his troops over, well, they didn't have big barracks and things like that, you know. And so what they did is the people had to station the troops. The troops were allowed to come in and live in their homes. And the people had to feed them, and they had to house them, give them room, basically free room and board. And that was one thing that was written into our Constitution and the amendments, was that, you know, the citizens of this nation would not have to house and put up with,
right,
and yield to unreasonable seizures and searches as well, that basically their home was their castle, that they did not have to have people in there, and that you could not have these warrantless searches. And, well, that's out the window again. And guess who was the co-sponsor of the bill? McCain. Good thing we should have, maybe with your guns, you should have done something else and vote for McCain. But because he, and I think that hopefully that shows you people out there, you listeners, that there's no difference. There's not a dime's worth of difference between a Democrat and a Republican.
Nope.
They're all money hungry. They're all power hungry. For the most part, the ones that are up there do not serve Jesus Christ. They do not put him above their filthy lucre and their love of money, their greed, mm-hmm. which is idolatry. And anyway,
one of
I
the
just
things they
thought
I got
it was
out
funny
of,
seeing that.
Yeah, it is. One of the things I got out of the many things I got out of Dad's sermons in the last few weeks is that we don't need any laws. God gave us all the laws we need in the Ten Commandments. So all these idiots up there in Washington that call themselves lawmakers, all they do is make laws that contradict God's law. But
yes,
praise the Lord that we got these situations, because men are going to be men of God again. It ain't going to take too many people getting drug off for no reason where you won't even wait to find out what the charges are. So,
yeah. They had that on Black Friday. You know, we talked about it in our Sunday school last Sunday, a little bit about it. You know, I think it was down in Phoenix. They're having this mad rush. Everybody's trying to get all these video games and whatnot, and there's a grandfather there with his grandson. And they find the game they want, the little video game or movie, whatever it was, you know, just a small little packet, in a Walmart down in the Phoenix area, I believe. And all of a sudden, the crowd, because it was a crowd and it was a mob, and you can imagine, you know, it's half black and or a third black and a third Hispanic and a third, you know, our people in there at whatever midnight in Walmart, got to get a deal, right? Got to get a deal. And the crowd starts to kind of trample and surge, and his grandson falls down. And so Grandpa goes to grab his grandson. But, you know, God forbid that he throw the video back in the box. I mean, he fought for that video. So he just stuffs it in his pants real quick, you know, like in his belt. And just to hold on to it, and he wasn't not going to steal it. He had a cart, $600 worth of stuff over on the side that he was buying. But as soon as he stuffed that in the edge of his pants, there were cops there, and they picked him up, and body slammed him to the ground. Broke his nose, knocked teeth out, just put blood all over the place. And shut that sale down real quick, you know. And those big, I believe it was Phoenix, you know, those finest policemen there, you know, they were witnesses, judge, jury, and executioners, you know.
Yep.
There was no excuse me, sir, you know. There was no even grabbing him and taking him out of the crowd to deal with him. I mean, body slam him right down on the hard floor. There was video of it all over the internet, and that's what we've come to. You know, it really is. That's what we've come to. The people that are just so neck deep in the world, they love it, and that's what you get, and that's what you have to come to expect.
Yeah, it's sad. We there's a story that broke this week too down here in Colorado, down in Denver area, about a sheriff that was basically a hero, and they named the Justice Center after him. Well, he's in that Justice Center right now in Orange.
On the other side.
Exactly, because, you know, it just totally sickens me, but he was actually trading methamphetamine, and then the twist of the story is he was the head of the methamphetamine task force, drug enforcement, so he's collecting the drugs from these people, turning in a percentage of them, using the rest of them to buy homosexual sex from young men. And, how did we get to this point in this country? That's what I say. And
well,
why aren't we dragging them off to the edge of town?
Well, we let the camel get his nose in the tent.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when these people, these Antichrist were pushing the feminism and the free love and telling the women to burn their bras and all that back in the 60s. You know, the people of God just sat back. They had their drinks in the evening. They had their TV, and they could watch old Walter Cronkite. And, you know, it's just the way it was. They were fat and happy. We were fat and happy as a people, like the Song of Moses says. Jeshurun grew fat, waxed fat, and kicked. And that's just what they did. And you know, so they allowed that. And then, you know, after that, that wasn't enough. And so then what had to get crammed down was the abortion. Women, you can take charge. It's your body. It's your choice. And these ungodly just push that and push that. And they've succeeded in that. But that wasn't enough. And so what did they have to push after that was the homosexual issue. They had to push it. They had to push it. And, you know, a tenet of psychology is the more that you hear something repeated over and over and over, and the more you see it in print, the more acceptable it becomes. When I was in high school in the early 80s, abortion was not mentioned. You know, it might have happened, but nobody talked about it. It wasn't in the school newspaper. You know, it wasn't something you could go. People went and talked to the guidance counselor about. It wasn't in the newspaper, and the filthy faggot queers weren't either. You know.
Yeah.
Looking back now, I can look back now and see that there were a couple of filthy faggot queers that I knew of in high school, and then after school, not after school, but looking back on it, you know, 5 years later, yeah, a couple of them showed their true fruity colors, but. You know, they didn't have
play a game called Smeared to Queer. I remember that game.
But they didn't have a club, you know, and they didn't stand on the corner and recruit, and they
funded
didn't advertise
the
in the school newspaper.
Yeah.
And so you know, that's what got pushed was the queers. Well, now that's the result of what we're having is people like that down there that are just you know, doing what they think is right in their own eyes. It's that, I talked about it a little bit Thursday night, John, it's called secular humanism.
Yeah.
And it is a religion. It's not Christianity, but it is a religion, and it's hand in hand, very similar to Hinduism. And Richard Hoskins has talked about it. Mr. Hoskins has talked about it in his newsletters quite a bit. And it basically is just a religion of the world. And
yeah.
They don't have a problem with homosexuality. They don't have a problem with bestiality. They don't have a problem with interracial marriage. It's fulfilling the human desire. And that's what we're seeing taken over. And you see what the most recent is that they've really started pushing, and it's just because the Catholic Church has been exposed in it, and it's the pedophiles. It's these filthy, faggot, Catholic with a C, Catholic queer priests, and the Catholic Church accepts it. If you're a Catholic out there, you ought to be ashamed. You ought to hang your head and cry. You ought to go up to your Catholic church and ask your Catholic priest or father or most holy, highly reverend or whoever in that heaven's antithesis is there and ask them if they're molesting little boys. Because most of them seem like they are. If you're a Catholic out there, I get a letter every now and then, oh, you can't talk about the Most High Catholic Church. I'm talking about the Most High Catholic pedophiles.
Amen.
And the Pope up there that looks like Satan himself, wearing his little fish hat. It's as ungodly as it can be.
Yep.
And you people call yourself Christians.
Yeah, it's just like John was saying about the old sheriff down there, you know, the meth guy. You know, it's like, you know, Pastor used to talk about the termites. You remember that, where he talked about the termite inspector?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And what was he doing? He loved termites destroying the houses because it kept him a job, you know.
Yeah.
Well, you got all these pedophile guys out there, these guys that put themselves in positions. I know there was a time where it was ice cream men. You know, I mean, if you want to grow up and be an ice cream man that drives around and sells ice cream to children, you've got an issue.
Yeah.
You know, and parents, you better walk out to the car where they're buying their ice cream from and make sure this guy is an upfront guy or a Boy Scout leader. You know, and I know there's been some good Boy Scout leaders. But these animals, you know, whether
these
they're
animals,
pedophiles or what, they put themselves in those positions.
Yes.
These Catholic priests where they can be with altar boys. These now you got assistant coaches out there that want to be with their ball boys. I mean, you got these people that put themselves in a trait or a position where they can do the most harm. And that all brings us back to the preachers on the pulpits.
Yeah, it's ironic you bring that up because not only once he retired as sheriff for 20 years down there in that county in Denver, they made him the head of Cherry Creek School District Safety. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Talking about putting him in a position of...
Well, that's what they do. And that's what these enemies... these creatures of instinct that were created to be destroyed. And that's why there's a death penalty for homosexuals. Is God says you get that out of your life. You get it out of your society. You don't have it. And that's a warning that goes out. If you're a homosexual, if you're a drug user, if you're one of these people that do this, it's repent or perish. The same it is for anybody.
Amen.
But, you know, there's a special hot place for hell for you. There is.
Yeah. That brings me to a scripture. You guys know I harp on 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I still believe that if we can get our remnant to pray that faithfully, that God's going to answer our prayers.
I think that's the only reason he hasn't wiped us out yet, John.
Yeah, exactly. But in 2 Chronicles 15, verse 12, it says they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and soul, and whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. So, you know, we're kind of right there too. This is in 2 Chronicles over and over. Israel got fat and happy, and then they sinned to a point where God was ready to wipe them out, and then they repented. But we're getting to a point now where either you're going to repent or you will be put to death. And it won't be us that will put you to death.
Yes.
It's going to be Jesus Christ. So.
Yeah, and, you know, all this stuff kind of kind of goes together, what Richard was talking about in the loss of liberty, you know, where that bill they're trying to pass and everything. And it's all due to a loss of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah.
In our people, in our country, in our homes. You know, it's like the appearance of evil doesn't mean nothing to anybody anymore. I mean, we're talking about homos, pedophiles, we're talking about the worst of the worst. Well, it all started by having little effeminate boys or effeminate men not be spanked by their parents or not be prayed over by their parents, that they wouldn't be effeminate. You know what I mean? It's like, me and Richard was joking yesterday. We had a little meeting at a lunch place, and John, you hadn't got there yet, and Jason got up and went to the restroom, and so me and Richard were sitting on the same side, and well, I got up and moved because, you know, and I joked, I said, well, I don't want the appearance of evil, you know, and Richard was pointing at me to move too because he didn't like it either. Society isn't like that anymore. You know, if little Johnny wants to play with a doll, they buy him a doll. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, and then you know, that's why we got people like this sheriff, you know, or people like that Syracuse assistant coach that's been molesting ball boys. I mean, it's because people don't even care about the appearance of evil anymore. I mean, how many people do you hear tell somebody or tell a little boy that might be talking like a little girl, talk like a man, boy. You know, you don't ever hear that. And if somebody did that in a store, all the people around him would look at him like he was an evil person. You know, I mean, they call evil good and good evil. I mean,
those are the days we are in, is that evil is called good, good is called evil.
Oh, but my boy, he's into the arts, and he's the... It's just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But anyway, it's just crazy out there. But we do. We need to pray. Second Chronicles, like you know, you say harp on, John. I don't call it harping. It's just a fact. You know, that's where this country needs to go. That's where the homes need to go. We need to get the Holy Spirit back here, and then we won't have these liberties taken from us. You know,
right?
We'll have freedom.
What's that? Where God's Spirit is, there's freedom. Or what? How does that go?
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was looking for.
And you can, you know, Colin and I were talking about it. Absolutely. We were talking about it on the way down that, you know, if the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, then that is a truth. That is a rock solid. That is like in math where, you know, A squared plus B squared equals C squared. I mean, it is a truth. But it works both ways. And the negative works as well. So if where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, then just like Kyle said, where the Spirit of the Lord is not, then there's not liberty. And that's where we're at today. And so if you want liberty, people, if you want freedom, if you want that peace that surpasses all understanding, if you do want to see our pastor again, you know, you can't be neck deep and in bed with this whore of the world. It's just as simple as that. Because the Spirit of the Lord is not in these worldly people. It's not in these secular humanists that go to church every Sunday and that welcome every homosexual couple that comes in and every interracial couple that comes in and just speak about Jesus' love. That is not Christianity.
Yeah, it's more accepted.
It absolutely is.
Lutheran church.
And these Mormons that are out there and these other, what, you know, people think they're Christians, they're not Christians. These churches down there, they're not... If they do not proclaim as Jesus Christ did, or let me say as the Word does, the death penalty for homosexuals, they're not Christian churches. It's as simple as that. That's what the Bible calls for it, and that's what it is. You know, Mr. Hoskins in his book, Vigilantes of Christendom, we carry it. I just said to write him a letter and order some more because we can't keep them in stock. We order, you know, 20 or 30 or 40 at a time. You know, he talks about on the back of it. It says, Japanese kamikazes who died for their faith were worshipped as gods in the Japanese culture. That's not our culture. It's their culture, you know. And they were filthy Japs and killed our people when they were kamikazes. But in their culture, they're worshipped as gods. Shiite Muslims who die enforcing the laws of Allah receive the acclaim of Islam and instant entry into paradise. You know? And they have... And we're still neck deep in a war with, supposedly, with these people, longer than we fought World War I, World War II. The Jews, they honor militant Zionists who enforce Jewish law with national recognition and by making them leaders of their state. You know, it's kind of like the old Indians here. You know, the best Indian that got to become chief, he was the best thief. He could steal more horses and more children and more women from the other tribes or from the white man that was there than anybody else could.
Yeah.
You know, the best thief was the chief. Phineas priests, people who enforce Christian law, they're sentenced to prison or death. And that's just a summary on the back of his book, Vigilantes of Christendom. Now, we're not saying go out and do this by your own hand. But if we were a Christian nation, our laws would reflect that.
Yeah.
And so our laws do not reflect that. So guess what? We are not a Christian nation. If you think you are...
No liberty.
Absolutely. There's no liberty. If you think you attend a church where the Spirit of the Lord is there liberty there?
If you're not being persecuted, you're definitely not attending the right church.
No. No,
God
not at all.
Talks about that.
Anyway, I don't know how we got off there. That's coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. That's how it goes. We just pour some coffee and pray and open the Word. And where we go, nobody knows but the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12 is good too. It says, "Or God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are on you." And that's what we got to, you know, this is a spiritual warfare. And we got to get our lives right. We got to get our priorities straight and our eyes on God.
That's true. You know, Richard talked a little bit about the humanism out there, the humanist church, or there's a church out there called Universalism. You know, it's all about people who don't fear God. It's like he was saying, anything goes. They absolutely refuse to fear God. And they'll say things like, "Well, if that's the kind of God your God is, then I don't want that kind of God."
Right.
You know, because they don't want laws that actually have punishments. You know, it's like the pastor used to say, "What good would a law of you can't drive 90 if there was never a penalty for it?" You know, it's a law that's none effect. You know what I mean? And that's exactly what the Ten Commandments are anymore, is to these people, these self-gods, they might even say, "Oh yeah, I like the Ten Commandments," but they do not want the punishment. They don't want anything to do with the other half of the law.
Yeah.
I mean, thou shalt not steal means thou shalt not steal, but if there's no results for stealing, you know, I mean, then what's the point in having the law? Does that make any sense?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know, Psalms 14:1, I'm just turning there. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God."
Yeah.
The fool. "They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good."
Yeah, okay. The sad thing is, they're the minority, too, these antichrists. But like Dad said, you know, they played chess and we played checkers, and they started playing chess 40, 50 years ago, or maybe even sooner, and they got all their people in the positions that are making the laws that are shackling us, but we reap what we sow as a nation. And some people are like, "What do you mean?" You know, and I'm like, "Well, what do you mean? What do you mean? Look at what, you can't have blatant homosexuality, same-sex marriage, and federally funded abortion and expect to be blessed as a nation."
No.
Doesn't matter one bit who the heck they call the president, you know. Until we get to be the King, Jesus Christ, over us, even if we have this figurehead called the president, as soon as he's submissive to Jesus Christ, then things will change, and not before.
Yeah. And if you keep on supporting the evil ones, you know, if you keep on praising the ungodly, you know, there's results on that too. You know,
I remember when Dad first put out the Jesus for president, I was like, "Yeah, whatever." You know, it sounded too far fetched and kind of crazy, but man, was he right or what?
Yeah, he was.
And it's foolishness to the natural man, and it may be to the world. You know, when we first did that, we had a booth at the Religious Broadcasters Convention. And Chris, you guys know Chris, and I staffed it for the most part. And we had a big map of the westward trek of Israel, the true Israel, and we had Jesus Christ for President CDs, and we're handing them out, you know, there were a handful. You know, there were thousands, tens. I mean, we're talking 60, 70, 80,000 people that came through that place. We had a, we weren't on the corner, but we were just one in from the corner booth, and thousands of people came out. We gave out like 10,000 of those CDs.
Wow.
There were a handful of people that got it, John, that said, yes, yes, this is what we need.
Yep.
A handful. There was a mother and daughter there. The father had to stay home and work. Home was in order. But I remember this. It was a mother and father there. The daughter had been homeschooled. Both the women were very modestly dressed, long hair, put up, very proper. The daughter had written a small book. We carry the book still. And they got it. And they were two of literally less than ten. Out of those thousands and thousands, talk about a remnant of a remnant. That is what the Bible talks about in trusting God. No, it's not a wasted vote. It's putting your trust in Him. It's doing as was commanded. What do you mean take the blood and put it on the door and the lintels? What has this got to do with anything? You know, we got to get up in the morning and go gather some more straw and make some more bricks. No, it's trusting in the direction of the Holy Spirit and being delivered is what it is.
Yeah.
It's choosing you this day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and, you know, it used to be a cry, no king but Jesus. It wasn't, you know, I remember also, John, like you when he came out with that, I was thinking, vote for Jesus, you know. And it's like something that should have just been a known fact, you know, part of us had been taken away, and it took, you know, basically a backhand across the face saying, yeah, vote for Jesus. I mean, because, you know, when, you know, I was getting cassette tapes in the mail, and that was what I read, you know, right on the cassette tape, vote for Jesus. And it was almost like, oh, I wanted a good message, you know, because it was far-fetched. It was outside the box, you know. And it's like, why was that taken from us? I mean, the cry used to be, no king but Jesus. And that's just simple Bible there, you know. It's like Richard said a while ago, you know, he corrected himself, but really he shouldn't have when he said, you know, Jesus said, you know, well, the Word says. Well, Jesus is the Word.
It is.
You know? He was the Word, you know, came down here and made manifest in the flesh, and that's it. You know, that's our King, you know. And
yeah, your knee's going to bend one way or the other.
Yep.
You know, in Proverbs, been reading a lot in Proverbs, and we're starting a Bible study in Proverbs tomorrow at Sunday school, our little local Sunday school. If you come on the internet, and we invite you to be there, you'll see a scriptural insight and study, but if you come to the actual LaPorte Church of Christ in our little local congregation Sunday school, we're going to start a Sunday school a little Bible study in Proverbs. But you know, in Proverbs 8, it's talking about wisdom. But wisdom is Christ, you know. Wisdom is a part of Christ, and in 14 it says, "Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am," and you know, we learned that from the pastor. Whenever you read that, understand that is God Himself. That is who He told Moses. Moses said, "Who do I tell Pharaoh is calling me out to the wilderness and doing all this?" You tell him, "I am," and that's a name of God. And so when you see that in the Bible, we've learned from the pastor. You have to understand that, even if it's lowercase, that terminology denotes God. And he's talking about wisdom here in Proverbs 8:14. "Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me," meaning Jesus Christ, meaning with, it's talking about wisdom, but it's Christ, it's God. "By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." And
I'm kind of thumbing through Proverbs, Proverbs 2:7-2.
Yep. Go ahead. The very opposite of this means also, okay, those that seek me shall find me.
Yeah.
Well, guess what, people? If you're not seeking truth, you're not going to find it. If you're not seeking wisdom, you're not going to find it. If you're not seeking the God of the Bible, you're not going to find it.
Yeah, and if you're playing church, you ain't going to find them either.
Absolutely. Go ahead, John.
But yeah, it says in Proverbs 2:7, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the path of justice. That's quite a promise.
Amen. I got the old King James here. It says, that's what our children learned, you know, and I can remember when they're little, you know, and they're learning their Proverbs and quoting them back, you know, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly, is what the King James says, you know. But, yeah, a shield. And I always like that word, a buckler, who protects those that seek him.
Yep. I kind of cheat, though. I go through my Bible and highlight all the stuff that clicks in my mind from what Dad said.
Nothing wrong with that.
It makes it easy to page through it, though, and really hit those points that really make a strong impact, you know?
Yeah. You know, we've encouraged people to partake of that red letter diet if they have a red letter Bible. You know, just have a few red letters every day. You know, you can't have too much.
Yeah.
The more it's like celery. The more you eat, the better it gets. You know.
Yeah. You know, at a bare minimum, if you just read the proverb for the day,
yes,
at least you're in the book, and
yep,
and it'll grow from there. You know, and I'll be the first to admit that I was lacking in that, and I've done better. I still need to do better. Unfortunately, the world keeps you tied up in what your responsibilities, and sometimes I take on more than I should. But I'm definitely in the Word a lot more, and it's amazing how it can be addictive, and that's a good addiction.
It is. You know, that was one thing that I've mentioned it before, but I'll mention it again. That was one thing that always impressed me, even more so, when I think back on the pastor, was his dedication to the Word.
Yeah.
You know, how many times had he read the Bible through and through and through and through again? But,
yeah,
you know, every morning he was up with his morning devotions. It was like, it was just like waking up to him. He'd wake up, start getting dressed for the day, and you'd find him out either in his back room. If it was the winter time, he'd be in his back room in that back chair back by that gas stove. If it was summertime and a little cooler, he'd be out front. John, I think you've got his chair now. But
yeah,
he'd be in that chair, you know. And again, it did not have the impact on me then that it does now.
Right.
Sometimes I'd come over early, maybe have to see him about something, maybe have to, you know, go up and talk to him. You know, maybe the cows were out, or maybe something was going on here at the ranch, or a very important early phone call or something. And I'd have to either buzz over or just go over and knock on the door. And it'd be earlier than normal, you know, in the 7 o'clock hour or something. And come on in, I'd hear. And you go in, and he might be there, and not really dressed and ready to go for the day, about halfway there, but he'd be there with his Bible. And he was praying, and he was reading the Word, you know.
That's the example that you got to witness, and that's the example that most society never see.
Yeah.
I know when I first came to the church as a heathen, based on working with a man down in Denver at DIA while we're building the airport, and he said, oh, you ought to come check out this church. And pastor used to be a saddle bronc rider, you know, it's kind of a radical church. And I knew in my spirit that I needed to get back to church, but I was raised in the Lutheran church, you know, and it was like we played church, you know. We went to church because that's what we'd always done. And did I get anything out of it? No. Did I ever follow through with anything? No. But I went to this church, and he did a sermon on when he was comparing the bars, the local bars right on the corner, to the to the church. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. And then people are like, well, you got your Bible? And I'm like, what do you mean? And, you know, he actually... Somebody gives me a Bible, and we actually went into the Bible in probably no less than 20 times, and I'm like, wow, church that actually uses their Bible. So what I could tell everybody out there who's listening, if your church doesn't use a Bible, don't walk, run, because that's just the interpretation of the pastor. And if they use one verse and milk it for 20 minutes, then there's something wrong there too. Amen. Our pastor used the word constantly through every single message he did.
Amen.
Yeah.
So. You know, Kyle, you talked about that, and that was a good example, wasn't it, John? I mean, that is, and that's a good example that you give. If your church is not in the Word, and not just in, you know, maybe one part of Luke for 14 weeks, you know, then you need to really take a look, like he said, you know. Kyle, you mentioned the example of being able to see the pastor, the example that he was giving. You know, if you're listening to us, and wow, we're 5 minutes, we're almost out of time.
Wow.
But I would encourage you men out there to be that example to your family.
Yes.
You don't have to be that example to your boss. You don't have to be that example to people you work with. But if they see you reading your Bible at lunchtime, you know, that you never know. That's planting a seed. But if you're married, be that example. Be that example to your wife. Be that example to your children. Let them see you read the Word.
Mm-hmm.
When they wake up in the morning or in the evening. You don't have to sit down and read all through it, you know. But John read the Proverbs. Every day of the month, you can read a proverb. Today is December 3rd. Read Proverbs 3.
Yeah.
You know, you can read them. You don't have to give a bunch of explanations. You might not understand it. There's things I don't understand here. But if you just read it with your children, let your children, let your wife see you read this. And you never know what that might do.
Yeah.
You never know.
Get your house in order.
Absolutely. You know,
because there's so much peace and harmony when you follow God's law.
There is.
So much discord when you don't.
Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know, we always talk about how he calls the weak and the foolish, because that's what the Word says. And that verse should go with it. That,
yeah,
we don't have to, you don't have to understand everything. But when we can trust in the Lord, and the only way to trust in him, to know what he wants you to do versus what you might want to do, is to read his Word.
Yeah.
Pray about it.
Like in Proverbs, you might as well print the whole book in yellow.
Yeah.
It's all, almost every one of those things you can ponder, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, guys, we're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us, Kyle. Thanks for braving the snow-covered roads to come back out to the Radio Ranch. And John, we appreciate you getting up this morning and join us. And we will, again, invite you all to church tomorrow. You can come to church with all of us, scripturesforamerica.org. You can watch it. You can listen to it. It'll be on satellite and on Internet and on shortwave. Again, Scriptures for America, 10 o'clock Eastern. I'm sorry, 10 o'clock Mountain, 11 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock Central, 12 o'clock Eastern. I'm all mixed up this morning. I haven't had enough coffee, excuse me. But we do invite you to church. Come with us tomorrow. We thank you for joining us. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. See you tomorrow, guys.
Amen. Thank you.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, Snake High. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, Snake High.
Disapproving. keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake hide.